Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message. Those that are listening, that are fathers. So the message is actually entitled, The Heart of the Father. But like I said, I didn't actually know that it was Father's Day, so it just kind of God's time plan instead of mine. But we're not talking necessarily about a natural father. We're talking about the Heavenly Father and how God's heart is towards His creation. A lot of things are said and done in the name of God that don't represent God. Amen. People do things, say things. I was reading on some story the other day about how a guy set his bed on fire or something, and he said God told him to do it. And, obviously he was okay. He wasn't dead, but he claims that God told him to set his bed on fire. And the subtitle of this message is Getting to Know God. And see, when you get to know God, then you don't make statements like that. You don't say, well, God told me to go shoot somebody. God told me to go blow up this building. God told me to go terrorize a nation. You don't say stuff about that like that about God when you get to know God. But a lot of people do things in the name of God, but it's not the God of the Bible, nor is it the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I wanted to just go over a few things about the nature and the character of God, how God perceives us, how God cares for us and delights in us and looks after us. So we want to go and do some things along those lines. Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the message tonight. Father, we thank you for who you are and the privilege of being called your sons and your daughters. Lord, this is a great privilege, for we know that we are our sons and daughters by creation. But we thank you that now we are made sons and daughters by regeneration and adoption according to the Spirit. So, Lord, as we're now your children, we ask that you would show us a little bit about yourself so that we could represent you in a proper way. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and give us your heart, because your heart is the heart that we desire. Just like the opening scripture said, Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, Lord. We can only do that when you give us your spirit and your heart. So, Lord, we pray that you would reveal this to us, Lord, as we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. So we're talking about basically the character of God the Father. And by analogy, we want to talk about the character of a natural father. And when I say father, I also include mothers, because the Bible says that the father and the mother are one. So when you talk about the father, a lot of times you hear messages about mothers and fathers, but fathers and mothers are supposed to be one. If you go back to Genesis 2:24, Adam said, after God had given him Eve, he says, and those two shall become what? The two shall become one. So the mother and the father represent the unity of the Godhead, and therefore what the father does, the mother does, and vice versa. Amen? So I just want to state that, even though we're not specifically talking about mothers, but the issues, the things that we're going to touch on apply to both father and mother. So first we're going to look at some of the personal experience, or excuse me, the characteristics of the father. So let's go to the first book of the Bible. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. We're going to stay in Genesis for a while. So Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 11 through 12, then 27 through 31, and then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, and then you're going to go to Genesis chapter 3. So let's look at 11 through 13, or 11 through 12 first. It says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." So let's jump down to 27 through 31. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the first, were the sixth day," excuse me. And then let's go to Genesis 2:15 through 25. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 25. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable for him, to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he could call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." And let's jump to chapter 3, verses 8 through 24, and then we will get into some of the points of these passages. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 24. And they says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and this woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of your face you shall eat it. Eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. All right, so there's a lot of passages, but there is a lot in each passage. So we look at those passages, and we see characteristics of God that are things that we as parents, we as people that are in positions of authority have to model. So the first thing we see is in the first passage, Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, is that God the Father is a provider. He created every green tree, every fruit of the tree, every ground, everything, and he said, this is for you to eat. Everything I've planted for you, it was edible, and therefore this is what I'm giving you to eat. So that one of the characteristics of God is that he provides for his creation. And a lot of people don't think of God as a provider. Now, I know sometimes we say God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. But when we get faced with a situation, even though we call God Jehovah Jireh, even though we know that he says that he's going to provide, sometimes we don't think that he's going to provide for us. Amen? Come on, talk to me. And so as we go through every circumstance, as we go through every situation that life brings to us, we have to remember that from the very beginning, God was a provider. And also, I just want to note this, that notice that he says that you can eat fruit and the things that grow from the trees and the grounds and so on and so forth. He did not at that time give people permission to eat meat. Now, you might say, well, why is that? Does that mean that we all should be vegetarians? Well, we'll talk about that another day. But the reason why that was given is because at that time, no part of the creation was to die. So you can't eat meat without what? Killing it, okay? So there was no provision to kill anything. Everything had life, and it was going to live for eternity. Everything in the garden was considered to be eternal. Are you with me here? So that is why nobody was given permission to eat meat. But you notice as soon as they get out of the garden, they begin to eat meat. Why? Because the sentence of death had been passed, and therefore things had to die for the benefit of other people. Are you with me here? That's just an aside. But so God provided for all the living things that he had created. He provided for Adam and Eve. And he also provided for the animals. He said in that same passage that the animals were supposed to eat fruit and grain. And so that means that lions and tigers and bears and all the carnivores that we see, cougars and lynx and coyotes and wolves and all these animals, they actually were vegetarians as well because they didn't have permission to kill anything. And if you've ever read the book of Isaiah, it says that in the millennial time, the lion will lay down with the lamb. How many have read that passage before? That's when God restores that command that the animal world will not kill one another for food. So anyway, I just wanted to point that out. But it's good to see how God provided for all, and they didn't have to go about killing anything. The next thing we see is that God provides for relational interaction with those that he loves. So we see this in you could see it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. It says, then God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Then the Lord God commanded, and he said he watched Adam to see what Adam would call what all the animals that he brought to him. So there was an interaction between Adam and Eve, like an interaction between a father and a son. And the interaction, because God loved Adam, and therefore he looked for opportunities, or he created Adam to interact with him. Many people think that God does not want to interact with us, that only thing God wants to do is judge us. I mean, I've heard people say stuff like that. Well, God is only mad at us. He always wants to tell us what we're doing wrong. Well, that's not true if you know the true nature of a father. The true nature of God the Father is not only just to point out to you where you're wrong, and he will do that, but it's also to let you know that he's there for you, that he's there when you need someone to talk to, that he's there when you are lonely. He's there when you talk to and to comfort you. And you can see that God has had a desire to interact about. All he's doing is watching Adam. It's like when your kids, if those of us that have children or have watched children, if you watch kids and you're just standing there, you're watching them and you're excited just by watching what they're doing. You know, the things that they say, the things that they do, the questions they ask you, the comments they make. You know, Kayla has been trying to learn how to spell, and everything is E-R-S. E-R-S. I was trying to ask her last time I was doing the children's thing, and we were outside, and it was sunshine, and I said, how do you spell sun, Kayla? It's E-R-S. I said, no, and everything is E-R-S, and even this today, I said, how do you spell something, and she said E-M-S today, so she's added a new letter to her vocabulary. But the point is, that's interaction, and those things just make us laugh, it makes us smile. So you see, God the Father, who created Adam, and Adam, he's bringing these animals to him. And, you know, the lion wasn't the lion until Adam said it was the lion. I mean, God had a name for the lion, but he said, Adam, I want you to name it. So, it's got a fuzzy head, a long, big body. Huh, it looks like a lion. And he brings the tiger. Says, now, this is big like the lion, but it doesn't have a mane. It doesn't. I think that should be called a tiger, you know. I mean, who knows why he came up with the names that he came up with. But whatever he named him, God let him name him. And you can see, if you can just, in your Holy Ghost imagination, you can see God taking pleasure in Adam naming the animals. And he's participating in the process. He didn't just hear God say, Adam, this is a lion. He didn't have to do that. He said, Adam, you call it whatever you want to call it. So God wants a relationship with us. This was the whole point of creation. This is the whole point of why Jesus came, to restore and reestablish the relationship that God had in the beginning. Amen? And it's so important that we get this because there's so many people in the world that are lonely. And sometimes it's hard for us to grasp that God is concerned about us because, well, first of all, we can't see God. We can't feel God. And we can't hear him audibly unless he makes himself heard. But we need to know that according to his word, according to his promise, that he is there with us. Amen? He is there to be with us, to lead us, to direct us, to guide us. His word is given to us so that we can interact and have relationships with him. The next point is God provides a purpose for living. Everybody say, purpose for living. Everybody wants to know, why am I on this earth? Well, first of all, God gives Adam a job in the garden to take care of the garden. And then in the first chapter that we read, 27 through 31, he gives both Adam and Eve an assignment to rule the earth and subdue it. It says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So the purpose God gave man was first to have dominion over the creation that God had given, not to be dominated by anything in the earth, to rule everything as a king and a queen would rule. Now, back then, there was no, you know, trying to figure out a way to take shortcuts so that they can benefit and then nobody else can, because they didn't have that mindset. It wasn't until after the fall that those things took place. So God had given them the ability to rule or lead, and also he told them to take care of the creation that he had given them in the garden. Now, some people might say, well, what happened to the garden? Well, the Garden of Eden, obviously, because there was a flood, was swept away. That's why nobody can find the Garden of Eden now. There was a flood, and we all know about the flood in Genesis chapter 6. The flood came, and the garden was washed away. So the garden is no longer on earth. Now, you can find, if you knew how to do geography and maps, you could find where the garden is. And I don't know if you've ever watched the Discovery Channel. They think they found where the Garden of Eden was, but it's not the Garden of Eden now. It's something else. It's just a plain. I think they said it's somewhere in Iran or Iraq, somewhere over there. But at any rate, but God gave man and woman a purpose for living. They were supposed to be leaders, and they're supposed to take care of the things that God had given them the ability to take care of. Now, think about this, and this is not just leaders over people, but first, because there's only them, so we're not talking about just leaders over people. First, if you're going to be a leader in anything, you have to first be a leader of you. Everybody, what does that mean? That means that you cannot allow the flesh to dictate to you how you're going to respond, what you're going to do, what you're going to engage in, what activities are going to be a part of your life. You don't allow your flesh to dictate, but you, according to the Spirit of God, tell your flesh what we're going to do. So that means that addictions, and an addiction is nothing more than a fancy word for lust. Every addiction is a lust because it's a strong desire to do whatever it is that you're addicted to, whether it's drugs, alcohol. Some people say they're addicted to sex, pornography. Whatever it is, that addiction is a lust, and that lust is not supposed to rule you. You're supposed to rule it. Now, we have strong desires, but what happens is the flesh redirects our desires to things that God does not want us to desire. And when you desire the things that God doesn't want you to desire, and you continually put yourself in a position to desire those things, then those things begin to take a hold of you and won't let you go. But the Spirit of God wants us to have dominion first over ourselves and our desires, and then rule those that we're responsible for. Amen? So purpose or direction or, excuse me, or leadership or dominion first starts at home. And I don't mean like in your four walls. I mean this home, this Holy Ghost home that we live in, the temple that God has given us. Amen? So we have to learn to master our own flesh so that the flesh doesn't master us. We'll see this in a minute in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 12, where God told someone to do just that. So the fourth point is that God provides boundaries. Everybody say boundaries. See, people think that God is mean, but God sets boundaries for our own protection. Now notice the only boundary he gave Adam and Eve was what? Don't eat that tree. You can do anything else in the world, but don't eat that tree. And isn't it just like, now we know it wasn't them that obviously they ate the tree, but it was the devil who brought that to their attention to make them think that God was trying to leave them out of something. And isn't that what the devil does now? We don't want to get saved. Why? Because we might miss some of the fun that's going on out there. And you know you're never not having fun as an unsaved person. You're always, I went to a few parties. I didn't go to a lot of parties because I wasn't a party person, because I always thought it was pointless to go to parties. But nevertheless, I went to a few. And I'd dance, but back then you could, and I guess now it's probably even worse, but you could do anything you wanted to that looked like dancing. So it didn't really matter if I could dance or couldn't dance. It looked like I could. I would be dancing with girls and trying to talk to girls, and I'd be saying to myself, this is such a waste of time. What is the point to all this? And here I am, like 16, 17 years old. And after a while, I just stopped going. I said, I don't want to do that. There's nothing in that that's exciting to me. But the enemy tries to tell you, he tried to tell me and through people, that's because you didn't do this. That's because you didn't do that. That's because you didn't, do X, Y. You weren't doing it right. But, I just realized that, my brother at that time, he was going, and, this is when the discos were big, and he was going to all the discos, and this is the teen discos, not the clubs, because we were all still under 20 years old. And he would be going to this disco every night, and he said, Harold, come on, you need to go. I said, no, I'm not going to no disco, man. I just don't have the time. And my mom had, every week, my brother and I rotated the car use. Every weekend we would get to use the car, and I would just give it to him. I said, I'm not using it, so you take it. And of course, he loved that because he just, every weekend he had the car. So the devil always tries to make you think you're going to miss something. But God sets boundaries for our own protection. Notice he says that don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you're going to die. And that's pretty simple. Now, the question is, did Adam have a concept of death? No, because nothing around him ever died. Okay? But Adam was smarter than us. Say, Adam was smarter than us. Because the reason why I say that is because Adam didn't have a sin nature. He didn't have a confused mind like we have. So he could figure out what death meant, because he had divine wisdom. He had divine insight. He had divine intellect before he fell. Amen? So he wasn't confused about this death issue. But God sets boundaries for our own protection. And this is the same today. You know, when your parents tell you, when the Father tells you, the Father God or your father, your mother tell you, don't do certain things. You know, it's not because they're too old and don't remember what it was like to have fun. The whole purpose is they're telling you from their own experience so you don't have to go through what they went through. That's the whole point of parents. To tell, instruct their children to help them avoid some of the pitfalls that they went through. Or maybe if they didn't actually go through it, maybe their parents went through it, or their brothers or their sisters or somebody. But when your parents tell you, you know, don't do those kinds of things. I'm not talking about people that tell you to do stupid things and do dumb things, but people that are really have your interest at heart and say, don't do these things, you should listen to them. I remember my dad, you know, with all the things that he did that weren't the best, he never drank and he never smoked. And so when he told me, and he never did drugs or anything, so I remember him telling us, we were in the living room. He says, if cocaine was good for you, he says, don't you think I would have bought it and just set it out on the coffee table and say, have at it? He says, because have I ever denied you anything that you needed if it was good for you? And, of course, that made sense to me because, yeah, my dad took good care of us. You know, he had a good job. My mom had a good job, so we never were without. I mean, we got bikes, we got everything we ever wanted. I remember I wanted an electric football set. They got me that. Everything I ever wanted, I got. So, you know, when he said that, I was like, yeah, that makes sense to me. So it must not be good because he hasn't brought it in the house. Same with alcohol. He said the same thing. If alcohol was good for you, I would get it for you so that you could have some. And I realized that he was smarter than me. And I was like 9, 10, 11, I don't know how old. But I realized at that moment that my father was smarter than I was. So if he didn't do it, and he didn't think it was a good thing for him, and he didn't think it was a good thing for me, that's all I needed. I didn't need anybody else my age to tell me, no, your dad doesn't know what he's talking about. Here, try this. Because I know what I'm talking about. And I'm looking at them. They're 10, 12, 13. So you who are the same age as me know more than my dad who's like 35 years. I don't think so. So I never got involved in those things. Why? Because I felt that the boundaries that my dad had set for me were good and for my protection. And that's how I was able to avoid a lot of the drug situation. And as I got into high school, when people were, you know, smoking weed everywhere, I mean, everybody was smoking weed. I was like, man, I'm not interested in smoking weed. First of all, I can't even stand the smell, so I don't know how you can be smoking weed and it just not bother you, the smell bother you. And then try to spray perfume so nobody else smells it. Then you know you can't cover that with perfume. As a matter of fact, it makes it smell worse when you spray perfume on it. And, you know, like the parents don't know you've been smoking weed. I mean, it's like, I said, that doesn't make sense to me. So I never got involved with that group because I understood boundaries. And God provides boundaries for our protection. Now, the next point is, and this is one we don't like about God, is that God also disciplines. Everybody say disciplines. After Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he disciplined them. He told them what the troubles that they were going to have. He said the woman was going to have trouble in childbirth, and then her heart or her affection was going to be toward her husband, and that he was going to rule over her. He said the man was going to have trouble raising his crops. At that time, you know, Adam was, he probably just looked at the ground and it started to grow. I mean, he didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to get out there. I mean, I hate yard work. I hate it. I think it's the most unnecessary. What's that? Yeah, well, it's not sinful, but it's like the most, the thing you just do, you do it all the time, and it seems like there's no benefit. And so for a long time, Annis used to get mad at me because I was like, she said, well, we need to go pull the wheel. I said, what for? I said, they're just going to grow some more. Why bother pulling them? You know, and I said, then she said, well, we need our yard to look good. I said, why? I said, it's because we don't want it to look bad for the neighbor. I said, I don't care what the neighbors think. This ain't their house. And so, you know, needless to say, I got over that. But I hate you doing yard work. But those are the kinds of things that happened because of what happened with Adam and Eve. I have to pull weeds because of the fall. Weeds grow better than your crops now. And I'm not a farmer, so I don't know about real crops, but when we planted, back when we were kids, my mom used to plant vegetables in the front of the house. We made a little garden patch, and, you know, we put, I think it was carrots, tomatoes, and maybe some corn in there. And the weeds were all over it. I'm thinking, we didn't plant weeds. Why are the weeds out there? And she said, well, you guys got to get out and pull the weeds. I was like, not me, you know. And so, but, you know, we did it. And, you know, the little bit of thing, I remember the carrots were about this big, and I think the tomato was about this big. They weren't, you know, the cherry tomatoes. They were supposed to be the big ones. So all these difficulties arose because Adam and Eve did not obey God. So he disciplined. He disciplined the serpent. And then he disciplined all the people that were involved in that process. He disciplined Satan. He told Satan that his head was going to be bruised by the heel of the seed of the woman. And then the next thing he does is he protects us. Now, sometimes this is kind of missed in the story of the fall. So let's go to chapter 3 again and look at towards the end. Go to verse 22. And it says here, it says, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now, let me stop right there, because this is the truth part of the temptation that the devil told Adam and Eve. Because he told Adam and Eve that if they ate the tree, they would know good and evil, right? And then the second thing, it was that they wouldn't die and that they would be like God, okay? Well, first of all, let's just look at the temptation. And not saying that, you know, Adam and Eve blew it, but that's another story. First of all, they were already like God, so that was nothing new, right? I mean, God made them and he said, in the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. So they're like God already. So I don't understand how that could be a temptation. Secondly, they knew what they needed to know, but obviously he tried to make them think that God had not told them something. All right? And doesn't the devil do that today? He always makes you think that God is holding back something on you, from you. And then he said that they were not going to die, in which we all know that that didn't happen. But notice what God says. Okay, so he says, they do know good and evil. Now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove him out. He drove out the man, and he placed the cherubim at the east of the garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, this is the area of protection. And the reason why God did this is because had Adam and Eve eaten from the tree of life in their fallen state, they would have been like Satan. Satan cannot be redeemed. Satan cannot be born again. Satan is an eternal being because he must have at one time eaten of the tree of life. So he cannot, after he fell, it was over. He can't come back. Some people say, God may do whatever he wants to do. That's up to God. But the reason why God got Adam and Eve out of that garden is because had they eaten that tree, they would have been eternally lost and never could have been redeemed. So it was for their own protection to get them out of that place, that nice, that wonderful place that he had given them, so that they would not be destroyed forever and ever. Now, only in God's wisdom could he know that. And that's why God is the protector of us. God knows more than us. I know some people don't think, you know, they read the Bible and say, man, God did that. I don't think I would have done that. I think I could have done better than that. That's what people say. I mean, people read the Bible all the time. It's like, ooh, that's hard. I don't know what God's done. He does something. Man, I don't know. I would have just killed the devil. And sometimes I ask the Lord, why didn't you kill the devil? Just take him out. Where there's no more. I said, and then he says, did you read the end of the book? I do take him out. He is going to be over with. In my mind, it is over. But it's time. It takes time to get to that place. Amen? So he protects us from things that we don't even know will harm us. When God gives you instructions, we always want to know, well, why? Just first of all, accept it. Accept that he knows. The Bible says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. So by that definition, trust me. Just trust me. Trust me. Everybody say, trust God. And he will make sure that you understand it. But right away, you won't understand it. You know, when God says, don't, the many things that he tells us, you know, don't have sex outside of marriage. Well, but I love her. I want to be with her. And then you do it, and you have kids out of wedlock, and then you end up breaking up, and then child support is after you for the rest of your life, and you never see the kid. And when you are paying child support, the mother don't want you to see the kid. I mean, all because you what? Didn't listen. If you'd have been married and stayed in the relationship, this would have never happened. But because we didn't want to trust that God is wiser than we are, we did what we thought was best. And it just leads to destruction. I mean, that's one incident. But, you know, even if it's not even going that far, you know, God will say, well, you probably shouldn't be too close to that person. And, you know, you get these ideas and these thoughts, and you say, I don't know why. They seem like a nice person. I mean, they seem okay. And you go and get into a friendship with them, and I'm talking not about an intimate relationship, just a friendship. And then all of a sudden, they're moody, they're mean, they're, you know, just not pleasant to be around and get you in trouble when they're in trouble and lie on you and all sorts of stuff and say you said something and you never said it. And you say, man, God, how come this happened? And he said, you remember about 6 months ago when I told you not to get into that relationship? That's what happened. You didn't listen. And we get ourselves into predicaments because we don't allow God to be our protector. And if we would trust God to be able to protect us, we wouldn't have all the troubles that we go through. The purpose, and I'm going to have to close because it's 8:30. The purpose of God is to protect those that he loves. The purpose of a father is to protect those that he loves. That's what a father does for their own good. It doesn't matter whether God, you know, to God it doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters because he loves us, but it doesn't matter if you do wrong or right. I mean, God is going to stay the same. I mean, he doesn't become less God because the whole world is sinful. He's still God. So it doesn't affect him in that way. It affects him because he loves us and he wants us to be obedient and he created us to be with him. So that in that way, it does affect him. All right, we have to close and we'll finish up next time, or at least get into more of it next time. So let's stand and we're going to go home. So remember Father's Day tomorrow. I'm not a traditional person, but, you know, it's always good to acknowledge your mom and your dad. And even though sometimes they weren't the best ever. No parent is perfect. I know that. I can speak from experience. I made my mistakes. But they still love you, and they still wanted the best for you, even though they didn't always do the best for you. How's that? But they still love you. So honor your parents. And then, as the scripture says, it'll bring a blessing in your own life. All right, let's go home. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the revelation or the insight into your character, how you provide, how you love us, how you want relationship with us, how you've given us purpose, and you set boundaries and discipline and protect us for our own good. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are a loving and a tender Father that cares for his children. And, Lord, from this day forward, we will begin to see you in that light. That you, everything you tell us, it's for our good, and it's for our benefit, and it's for our maturity and well-being. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for all that you're doing. We pray for you to give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us so that we can be led by your Spirit in everything we do, Lord. That is our desire, so that everything we engage in, we know that this is the will of God. Therefore, we can be confident that it will be what you've called us to be, and we will do what you've called us to do. So continue to lead us, continue to guide us, and continue to watch over us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that he has called us to be.